This is The Fuzz Box from WBRU.
All right.
Hey, my name's Laura, and today on The Fuzz Box, you're going to be hearing from Ella Jane, an up-and-coming indie artist from New York. I sat down to chat with her just before the release of her recent EP, and this is how it went.
Awesome. All right. So today we have Ella Jane with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for those who don't know you, would you mind maybe just giving like a brief introduction of yourself?
Of course. My name is Ella Jane. I'm a singer, songwriter. I produce a little, and I've been putting out music for the past year and a half. I've been writing my whole life. And I have an EP coming out in a couple days.
That is so cool. So insane. Congratulations on the EP. It's dropping September 10th for everybody who doesn't know yet. So how would you describe yourself and your sound to people who might not know your music?
It's funny because I always will like summarize it as some sort of like indie pop thing, but I think that's such a huge umbrella term that it probably needs specification. But I feel like I would describe, I guess, my music and the whole thing I got going on. It's for the most part like organic pop music with a focus on lyrics and on having, I always jokingly call it, or like at least the type of music I'm going for, like substance pop. Like I feel like you have like, you know, your standard like bubblegum pop with no meaning, and then you have someone like Lord who's like making a song that's danceable and the average person can enjoy it, but if you look into it there's more. So I guess that's what I go for.
That's awesome. And I know you're a Lord fan. Did you enjoy Solar Power this summer?
I did. I know it's pretty divisive, but I think I tried not to be that person who, you know, shits on something because it's different from what an artist typically does. So as much as I love her, the whole synth pop thing, I'm also really into this new era.
Yeah, totally. I was dancing to Mood Ring for the last month.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that lyrics are a really big thing for you as well, as you're just kind of talking about. What is your favorite line that you've ever written?
Probably for my song, August is a Fever. I really like the second verse. There's a few lines in there that I really like, that is most of which I wrote while cutting strawberries at I worked at a frozen yogurt store and I was like in the kitchen, like humming these. Should I just say them?
Yeah, absolutely.
You like to fill your lungs with smoke. I feel like I'm just stuck between your teeth, poison spilling down my throat, but New York's underwater in a week. That to me just felt very like, I don't know. I was proud of those. I'm a huge like imagery person.
Those are super cool. So you worked at a frozen yogurt shop. Did that kind of like help you, I guess, write music? Where did that fit kind of in your creative journey?
I would say, I don't know how much it did, but it was something where like, not that I'd have a lot of downtime, but I'd have a lot of like time in the kitchen because you'd have to like cut fruit a lot or like do dishes. And I'm always just like humming to myself and I guess like writing in my head. So a lot of random ideas have spiraled out of that kitchen.
That's amazing. So I want to talk a bit about your EP that's coming out on September 10th. So how are you feeling, first of all, about the release?
Dude, I'm feeling so excited. For me, I think it might mean more to me personally and be more of like a symbolic thing than the actual meaning it might have like once it's out, just because for me, it's a collection of songs. Most of them are out already as singles, so there's not much new coming, but all of these songs I wrote while I was in high school. So it's from ages like 15 to 18. And seeing everything packaged together in one kind of concise thing and seeing it like all together, it has so much meaning to me. And a big kind of focal point of it is just growth. And I think even though a lot of these songs have been out for a while, seeing them all together really takes on a whole new meaning for me. So I'm really excited.
That's super cool. I know you put out Thief and The Sellout sort of just recently, and you were saying that both of those were songs you'd written a really long time ago. And I know Del Watergap was even a producing credit on one of those. Yeah. So like, what was it kind of like to see those songs that you'd written so long ago and that seemed to mean so much, like now they mean so much to other people too? What's that been like?
It's really bizarre. I think especially with a song like Thief. Thief to me was one of those like emotional kind of release processes that I've had, just because the song itself is so personal. And I wrote it when I was 17 about like, I fell into a really bad, like depressive episode. And it was kind of about that. And it's kind of funny, like being older now and like having that hindsight and now being out of that place. And then to have that come back and come out is kind of a weird thing. But I think also, like, the fact that Thief and even the Sellout are, like, so sonically stripped down, I don't know, it makes it kind of, like, scarier. It's like there's less production to hide behind. But I think it also kind of makes it that much more gratifying, especially with Thief. Like, it was really, really cool to see, I guess, just people, like, resonating with what I had to say, especially because it's a song that helped me through a lot. Like, writing it kind of helped me process, I guess, what I was feeling. And to see people connect with my vulnerability and kind of match that has been really, really rewarding.
Yeah. And it's really cool that you were able to put out a song that honestly meant so much to you. Because, like you said, I think that whole Substance Pop, I guess you could say movement, that's coming out today is really, really interesting. And it's been really cool to watch it kind of grow with you and some of these other artists. But I did notice, like, a bit of a sonic shift in your songs from kind of what you first put out to the new ones. Is that kind of a change that's here to stay? Where did that change kind of come from?
Yeah, I think that it's gonna fluctuate over time, you know, with the next releases coming out after the EP. And I think it's just reflective of, like, my changing taste in music. And I think the singles came out almost in, like, accidentally a bit of chronological order to when I wrote them for the most part. And it's funny because you can kind of hear me, like, discover Phoebe Bridgers and, you know, start listening to more like Elliot Smith and get into, like, Simon and Garfunkel. So that was just kind of a reflection of that. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a big shift, especially because I put out the Sellout and Thief back to back, which are by far the most stripped songs. But I have such an equal affinity for pop and then for kind of folk indie acoustic stuff. And so I think my writing kind of branches from either side for the most part. And so I think that change is going to continue as I release stuff.
That's super cool. I know. I feel like folk is definitely having a really big moment right now.
I love it.
I know. I'm so here for it. Like, very happy about that. I'm kind of curious because, I mean, your lyrics are so good, even just from, you know, what you've put out and what you write and share on TikTok. How did you first get into songwriting and music?
I come from a pretty musical family. My mom just, like, she's not a musician herself, but she just has, like, a great appreciation for music. So we were always, my brother and I were raised on, from my mom's side, a lot of, like, she loved, like, Stevie Wonder. And, you know, my parents had us listening to a lot of, like, Rolling Stones and whatever, and the Beatles growing up. But my dad is a jazz musician. He's a jazz pianist, not for work, but it's just something he's always been doing. So it was a household that nurtured a love of music. So it was just kind of always, like, second nature to express myself in that way. But I was also, when I was younger, I really wanted to be a writer. And so I would, like, write these little books in the way that, like, 10-year-olds write books. It was, like, size 42 font on, like, a Word document. And I was like, I wrote a book. But I think when I was around 11 or 12, I sort of, like, connected the dots that I could bridge the two. And I think the second I realized I was able to play a song and sing it at the same time was kind of when I decided, like, oh, like, I can do this. I can take my writing and put it to music.
That's honestly, I think, the coolest origin story I've heard so far, especially because I think sometimes people don't necessarily see the literary side of, like, songwriting or really understand it as, like, another form of true writing. So, I mean, that's super cool. And I know one of your songs is about the Great Gatsby. You were studying English for a while. So how does literature kind of shape your art and your songwriting?
It definitely shapes a lot. I mean, I read a little bit less than I would like to, just because lazy. And also I think, like, once you've been to college, reading becomes a little less enjoyable.
I feel you on that.
Yeah. So especially last year, I was heading on the, like, English major track. It was hard. But yeah, I'm so exposed to myself as, like, such a fucking nerd. But I just, like, love words. And I just love when you can, like, read something and get, like, a visceral reaction out of it. It's part of the reason why I love Lord so much, because she's just huge on, like, imagery and, like, really sensory words. And, you know, I've always kind of read with a pen in hand. And I just, like, go around, like, underlining words that provoke something in me. And so my note section is just filled with, like, random words and things that I kind of, like, stash away in my arsenal. To me, I think the lyricism is as important as the music. I know for some people, you know, that's not the case. And I also listen to a lot of, I have a lot of artists that I love and listen to who like aren't big on lyrics, and I listen to them for the music. But for me, because writing is such an emotional outlet and it's really kind of this diaristic thing for me, that's why I think the lyricism is so important. I want to make sure I'm expressing how I feel in a way that makes me think.
I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. And I love what you're saying about like stashing away those words. I reread Gatsby actually like totally by coincidence a week ago. And there were so many cool words that he uses that I would just like, oh my God, this is so great.
Yeah.
I also really do love the Gatsby reference so much. And since I just read it, I kind of need to know, like, is there a character in that book that you feel that you identify the most with? Did you find that when you were writing that song?
Oh yeah. So the song was from Jay Gatsby's perspective. It was my English project and like senior. But I think also like subconsciously it's a little bit about me, because I was like, oh, like, wow, this is really not someone that I want to resonate with. You don't really want to like,
yeah.
But I think it was like, I don't know, I have a huge tendency of like romanticizing things and like building up this huge like idea of people in my head and then not actually doing anything to like pursue them and just like make it a reality. So that was kind of, I guess, where that song came from.
That's definitely very, the whole romanticizing thing, very Gatsby and very relatable. So in terms of like influences, obviously there's literature, but musically, who are some big artists that have influenced you sort of back on the music page?
Yeah. I mean, the ones that I'm always listening to, I listen to a lot of Lorde and Phoebe Bridgers, 1975, Maggie Rogers, Harry Styles, but I guess it, you know, leans a lot towards the folkier side too. Like, I do listen to a lot of Simon Garfunkel and like Elliot Smith and just anything that is overtly depressing. I'm like, yeah.
That's so fair. And I know you often say that you are like the love child of the Phoebe, Lorde, Taylor Swift, holy
Trinity. Oh my God. I literally forgot to mention Taylor Swift. It always happens.
No, she just, I feel like it should just be the assumption that everybody.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she is pervasive.
Yeah.
But what do you think you get from each of them, like in any sense of the question?
So, okay. I went through like a phase where I would like, well, I guess I still kind of do this. Whenever I have writer's block, I have a tendency of just like accidentally just like, I'll study the artist that I like a lot and just see what they do. And I think I've kind of absorbed like traits from my favorite artists because of that. So I now know like I can pinpoint exactly what I accidentally will like steal from these people. like Lorde, it's like the huge like lyricism imagery thing. But I, you know, Phoebe Bridgers like has just infiltrated the way I just say my words. And I think like, so Taylor, Phoebe and Lorde all have like such distinct lyrical styles and like melody. But I think they all use like really, really simple chord progressions and like the melody becomes the focal point. But I love how Taylor Swift, like she'll take like a common phrase and kind of twist it, or like she'll have songs entirely built around like one metaphor. So if I'm ever feeling like I need to do something like grand, I'll go for that. Lorde, I take like the sort of visceral imagery. And then Phoebe Bridgers is just like, ever since I started listening to Phoebe Bridgers, my note section has become like increasingly darker. So like, I just find myself using like blood and like death a lot more, but it's like she somehow does it in a really endearing way. And she just throws in like a man and you're like, yeah. So I think I kind of grab from all those areas a little.
Another thing I kind of wanted to talk about was a big part of your year was TikTok. And I know it's kind of been, I guess, a big part of everybody's year.
Yeah.
But what was that experience like? Because I feel like it all happened so fast on that platform for you. Like, what was that like?
It's really weird. But I think it was like, I mean, TikTok has a lot of its own problems. And I think it's like, as much good as it's done for music, has done a lot of harm in terms of just like, it's so much easier for like one-hit wonders to happen. And I think a lot of the times, like, artistic integrity is kind of pushed aside in favor of like, oh, let's get a 15-second thing so it can go viral. But I think what I noticed from TikTok and what was really cool was like, it is one of the most organic ways that you can find a fan base and develop that connection with people. It's really cool because I was taking to TikTok, you know, the songs that I'd written over the course of high school. And like, it wasn't anything that was written with the intention of like oh, I want this to like be viral. I want this to be like a sound. So what started happening was like my videos talking about my music and talking about like what was happening with it. That's what would blow up, and then not just like a sound. So I got to witness in real time people like connecting with my music, and like, I know it was very cool. And I think also what's good about TikTok is people can see through your bullshit so easily. And I think they like seeing something happen organically and like being able to interact with this person and like experience their growth with them. It's like you're giving people who love to listen to music and love to like find new artists this direct insight into things as it's happening. And so as things started to blow up a little more and I started to get on more playlists or like get more recognition, talking about that and being openly excited about it online was something that people really connected with. It was a really unique experience. And also because that happened over the course of the pandemic, I and a bunch of other artists got to experience this thing where like, I've never really played a real show. Like the last performance I did on a stage was the musical senior year. I was doing a horrible Cockney accent in Oliver. So like a lot of us are going into touring for the first time coming up with a group of people who already know the music and not the other way around. So I think TikTok plays a huge part in that.
That's awesome. And like in terms of making TikToks, because yours have been doing like pretty well and you've got a lot of different stuff on there. Which ones are your favorite to make?
So now you can make like folders on TikTok. And so I organize the ones that I like. Oh yeah. Because the ones that blow up are the ones that like not usually the ones that I love, because you have to abandon your dignity a little bit. I had this one video blow up and the first line of it was, "This is how I turned an English project into an indie pop banger." Like, ugh, like horrible. So like my favorite thing about TikTok and what I think has been kind of working in my favor is like, it gets really easy for self-promotion to be so annoying. And the thing that I've sort of always done and like doing to promote my stuff is instead of just making a video where I'm like, "Listen to me," I like seeing trends that are happening that have nothing to do with music and like making it about music.
Yeah.
Like I go through and like save sounds so I can like, oh, like I'm gonna use this to like promote myself. So I just have some like really stupid, like I did this one that was like, you know, it's like the, "You don't know what I've been through." Anyway, and I was just, well, I'm not gonna explain it because explaining jokes is always so funny. But yeah, I like doing shit like that. I think it's if anything, like I get amusement from it. So whatever.
No, you have to keep it fresh. There's no other way. Okay, so I had another question. This is probably more of the like less fun side of the music industry right now. But I've been really impressed about the fact that you've talked on your social medias about kind of like the lack of diversity in the music industry, especially with the USC study. And obviously like that situation is not so hot. It's not great. No. Like so few female writers, artists, producers, and like not even to mention like artists of color and queer artists. How do you think that the music industry needs to change? Like, where does it need to go from here?
Obviously, like I could say this, but it's like, well, what will get it there? But like just so much more inclusivity is needed. But I think specifically on the side of writers and producers, like I think I would love to see more female producers and writers make it to kind of like the publicly known semi-household name sphere, because growing up, like you would see people like Pharrell and Mark Ronson and all these people who you know for not their work as an artist, but as a creator, as these household names. And so kind of subconsciously, you're absorbing this whole thing where like, these are the men who are crazy successful. And the music that they make is like all over the charts. Like there was one statistic from that study that was like a large percentage of Billboard hits from the past 5 or 6 years, like were written by the same like 5 men.
That's wild, but I can believe it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. It's believable, unfortunately, but it's like, it's horrible. But I think I would just love to see more women or just non-men, just a more like intersectional group of people getting recognition, because it's something that growing up with the lack of those role models and having the only female people in music to look up to being performers, like, I think it really subconsciously affected me, because I grew up thinking like, I want to be in music, but it's such a far off, having music be this thing that's like so far off and unpursuable, because it's like the only people I see doing this are like Taylor Swift, and like that's a 1 in a million chance. But I think had I grown up with these like creators who are women, and like seeing those be role models, I think might have changed the trajectory and gotten me more passionate about it earlier on. representation is so important because you don't really know things are options until you see that happening and see that happening in a public way.
On this track, in terms of like the music industry, you recently just, you got there, you signed with Fader, you're doing this whole thing. How has that experience been?
It's been great. It's been really good. I think having that time, having this past year, you know, things have been sort of building up, was really good. I'm lucky to just like have already kind of started in great hands, like in people that I trust and care about. Cause I think it's really, really easy for artists to kind of jump into, especially like when people, the first deal they sign is with a major label, it's like you're immediately not a priority. And I think what's really, really cool about Fader and also just like, you know, my team there is that it's such a small roster. Okay, it's almost in the same way that like small classes, you know, it's like they'll be so much better. You get more attention. But like, I think that's what's been nice about Fader. And I think it's really cool to be in that place so early on in my career, to already be starting off on the foot of like being surrounded by a group of people who care about what I'm doing and believe in it and want to make sure that's happening in like a safe way. And I'm surrounded by people I trust.
That's really nice. And so, okay, so I guess bring it back then to where we started on the EP. I mean, by the time this podcast is out, it'll probably be out already. Cool. But what are you most excited for, you know, in terms of like this whole rollout process?
I think I'm just excited to have, first of all, I'm so excited for it to be out because I'm obsessed with the cover. It was shot by this amazing photographer, Ivy Tellin, and it's a great cover. And I had so much fun at like that shoot. But I think just having all these songs be together, like I was saying before, is just like a really cool moment for me. I'm just excited, I think, to like have them all packaged up so I can kind of put them behind me, because I think, I mean, it definitely was a conscious decision not to put any of the newer songs that I wrote later on it, just because I really want this to mark this like chapter in my life. And there's a ton of growth and change that happened over the course of that, but like I want it to strictly be that. So I think I'm kind of excited to have that out, have people be able to look at it and like, if they discover the EP, you know, discover the other things that I put out, but like still kind of mark that off as like an era, you know?
Yeah. I love this whole, like, I mean, maybe it was always a thing, but especially now I've seen people really been getting into the whole concept of musical eras for artists. Yeah. And I love tracing those and watching that happen. Yeah. So I guess what then is next for you? Like, what are you most excited about after this and in your next sort of era or year, however you want to category?
I'm so excited to perform. There's nothing like announced yet, but yeah, we've got some shows coming up, and I mean, I'm shitting my pants. I'm so nervous, but I don't know. I think it's gonna be great. I think like that thing I was saying before, where like I'm fortunate enough to have already kind of built a fan base prior to performing. So like just the idea of going to show and like people singing along, it's just makes me so excited, and it's so cool. And so I can't wait for that. But I'm just, yeah, I'm excited to just keep putting out music. We have a single after the EP that I'm so excited for. And yeah, I'm just excited to keep writing and finally have time to do it. Like last year was really difficult for me because I was in school, and also like there were a bunch of calls happening because I hadn't really signed to Fader yet. And it was really hard for me creatively, which is partially probably why a lot of the songs in the EP were songs that I'd already written. So I'm just excited to like have free time and have time to just like write and live and not be so stressed about like when I can find time for that. So yeah, I'm just excited because I think the music I'm going to put out next will probably be, hopefully I'll be very passionate about it.
That's awesome. I'm super excited to hear the EP.
Thank
and
you.
All the rest of it. Huge congratulations on everything. Mm-hmm. And we were so lucky to get to hear from you today. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh my God. Oh, thanks for talking to me.
That was Ella Jane on The Fuzzbox. If you like what you heard, make sure to check out Ella on Spotify and social media, and follow us at WBRU for more. Thanks for tuning in.